Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, first of all, you're going around the state in several stops, Stevens Point being one of them, and getting some ideas on tax reform. We've noticed in this one that some of the guests took the opportunity to be critical of some of the policies of the administration, but getting back to the focus of what can you do to improve the tax structure, you got some ideas today, including a couple about 401ks I hadn't heard before.
I hadn't heard those either in the tax reform roundtables. We had a tax reform roundtable today where we specifically hoped that seniors would attend and give us their thoughts and ideas, because we know that it was with Wisconsin weather, sometimes we lose people to nicer climates. And with the groundhog predicting 6 more weeks of winter, we know that we can't really offer much when it comes to no more snow. So what we can do is offer people the opportunity to make suggestions on how we can lower their tax burden. And one of the great ideas we got today is, what about 401ks? Why do you guys tax those? One person specifically mentioned the state of Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't tax 401ks. Tennessee doesn't have personal income tax at all. And there are 7 states that don't have income tax. That's one of the ideas that we've heard floated in every other tax reform roundtable. Why don't you eliminate the income tax? Well, that's one of the ideas that we're considering. We're considering all ideas to lower the overall tax burden in the state of Wisconsin. Today, specifically, we were eager to hear from seniors because we want to keep our seniors here. We want to keep their vibrant ideas and contributions to their communities here in Wisconsin, not in Florida or in Texas or Nevada or Tennessee.
We heard the suggestion of getting rid of the state income tax. Another person suggested eliminating the state's portion of the property tax, known as the forestry tax. But is there a balance where the state has to say, well, we can't cut it all, but we should do this?
Right. I think that that was the perspective of some of the folks in our front row who said, listen, I feel like I'm getting a fair value from my taxes. That's when we use this analogy of dials. So if you imagine 4 circular dials and label them each property tax, income tax, sales tax, and government spending, for every one of those you turn down, let's say you want to turn down the income tax, you're going to have to correspondingly adjust a different dial or maybe multiple dials. So you're going to have to either dial down government spending or dial up one of the other taxes. And so what we're trying to gauge is, where are people comfortable with those dials each turning? And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be rolling out one more tool for folks to contribute their thoughts and ideas on where they want those dials to be, where they would be most comfortable. Just as we each have the right temperature we set our thermostat at, we want to make sure that people get a chance to tell us where they want the tax burden at.
Any hint on that?
Well, I think it's going to be rolled out in the next couple of weeks. It is a digital solution. So if you have a computer or if you go to the library, you're going to be able to contribute your thoughts to us. So if you have a mobile device, you're going to be able to reach us with your ideas. We want your 2 cents, but not more of the 2 cents you give us for taxes.
As you travel the state, what other things have they been telling you as far as tax reform?
Well, what we've heard consistently, and even today we heard it again, taxes are too high and taxes are too complicated, especially for small business owners who have to give an inordinate amount of time for tax preparation and sometimes feel so overburdened that they have to hire someone and pay out what would have been perhaps a salary for an extra employee or perhaps more of a profit share. They have to comply with taxes. It's not one of the choices we give people. And so we want to make taxes less complicated. We want to make taxes less burdensome. We want to get off of the top 10 of a bad list. Today, we're number 10 in America for tax burden. We don't want to be there. Let's get off of that list, and then eventually, let's make it onto the top 10 of a good list.
Let's go ahead and change subjects back to the deficit, structural deficit versus the surplus. A couple of people in your audience today critical of the structural deficit. You had compared it to a mortgage and also compared it to not really being there at all. Explain that.
Right. Well, if you take a look at the state's economy in general, you always have growth, even during the deep recession, which was terrible and produced so much anxiety and people were worried. We still, as an economy, grew. So the structural deficit is kind of a political term that people use to put on a situation that's kind of similar to a mortgage. Like I said, if you take out a mortgage and you're a homeowner, you technically have a structural deficit because you've taken out a loan, essentially, anticipating that you will pay it back. And you know you can pay it back because you get a paycheck coming in the next month and the next month after that. Well, the same with what the folks are saying is a structural deficit in the state of Wisconsin. We know there will be growth in the state of Wisconsin. Even if you look at the last 10 years, if you take our income growth over the last 10 years, which included the post 9/11 dip in our economy and the deep recession of the last couple of years, we had over 3% growth. In order to wipe out what folks are calling the structural deficit, we would need growth of only 1.8%. Well, we know that the last 2 years we've produced a large surplus, $760 million last year, another $912 million this year. We know that the economy is going to be growing in Wisconsin. We know that there will be growth. We know that we will grow out of this political term that folks are calling a structural deficit. We're not concerned at all. Otherwise, we would never have proposed to give folks change back. That's what this is. This surplus, this $912 million, is money that we never budgeted for, we never expected, but people paid in taxes because they're doing better. They're earning more money. And if they've earned that money, we didn't budget for it, then it's owed back to the taxpayers, and they deserve it back. It's their money, and this is the way we continue to walk the path of prosperity in the state. So how we move our state forward.
And you and the administration would see this as better for the taxpayers to do it this way than to perhaps pay off that mortgage early and give them the benefits down the road.
Oh, gosh, yeah. When you consider the fact that this is your money, not government's. This is money we never budgeted for. The money belongs to you. If you go into the supermarket and you pay with a 20 for just $15 worth of food, you ask for your change back. We owe taxpayers their change back, and that's exactly what the governor is doing, giving the hard-working families of Wisconsin their change back. They earned it.